Hi, everyone. I'm Bob Anderson, an alcoholic. Can we open up this session with the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. We're starting again now on the retreat, a Marian retreat in Auburn, California. And what's the date today? It's 29/5/1993. And last night we talked about alcoholism. And so to start it off, maybe I'll talk just a short while, just a beginning again maybe on alcoholism. Then we'll go into the steps, and this way they'll have some kind of a hookup. So, alcoholism that we talked about last night, there's so much more to talk about all the time as far as the identity of it, or as far as recognizing it and for what it is as a disease, not as a word, though. And so there was everything. The disease of alcoholism for me is when I was drunk, and then when I was sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, I was living a life that I was not aware of it at all. There was just no way that I could become aware of what the disease was, especially when you're sober. And so I started to relate my life to myself in Alcoholics Anonymous in comparison, like looking at today what I'm doing in Alcoholics Anonymous plus where I come from, my track record and everything else. And I started realizing that everything, even in the day I was in, was the same as it was in the yesterdays. Everything was temporary. My whole life was temporary. Everything that came to me that I had, including jobs, money, possessions, acquiring things and everything else like that, I always got rid of it some way or another, or it wouldn't be satisfactory to me to have it, whatever it was. Because I was so restless, irritable, discontent that Dr. Silkworth was talking about in your big book there. But at that time I thought that, excuse me, I thought that restless, irritable, discontent meant when you were drunk, drinking, in the drunken stage or of life. Not just drunk, but in that world of drunkenness. Then I find out that that's not what he's referring to. He's referring to the character that I am, that I'm restless, irritable, discontented about my life. About everything, drunk or sober, it made no difference. But I never really appreciated or was aware of what was wrong with me in my life, because these temporary things I mean by that is that I was trying to be satisfied, or I was trying to get something that I thought was necessary or needed in my life, and it didn't make no difference how I got these things or what I did with them, but I wanted them, and I went for it. And by going for it, though, I had to use this alcoholism thinking and living and life that I was using. And then when I got it, it was gone. I threw it away. I used it up. I went and looked elsewhere for things. And never once ever realizing that I was doing the same thing in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was living the same type of life with the same type of thinking. Because it never occurred to me, or it never dawned on me, that the reason I came here, why I'm here in Alcoholics Anonymous, because if you're not drunk, not giving your money away, and this life that I come from was always a hard life, a dirty life, a life that I had to really push and shove. I had to do things to the extreme, and the extreme meant I had to hurt people, especially people in my family, my mother, father, brothers, sisters, and wives, and all of these things. And so everything was temporary, because nothing, I couldn't be satisfied in no sense of the word. But I never looked at that in Alcoholics Anonymous as why I was here, or it had anything to do with anything. See, I couldn't put it together in my brain. My BB brain just wouldn't accept things like that, see. So I have to have information being fed to me by some way or another, because I can't get it out of reading. We were just talking about that a little bit ago, is that I can read and I can hear you read and I can see things but I can't put it together for any use. I can't use that information for any purpose in my life. It's like head knowledge. I'm storing up stuff. I'm putting stuff up in my head Some of this stuff I'm putting up there is brand new because I never heard it before. And other stuff I heard, and it's going up there too. But it's never going there for any purpose or any reason. So the alcoholism is a mind controlling thing. And I have to keep talking. This, when I say talking about it, I mean I have to associate my life to the word of Alcoholics Anonymous, meaning meetings, meaning reading, meaning the word of the 12 steps, the big book, Dr. Thibault. Because if I don't do this daily in my life, then I'm using yesterday's information, and I'm using yesterday's memory, and I'm using everything, and it's going to be on a temporary basis again, because it gets to be somewhere else other than where it should be in today's life. So this is what I was saying before, is when my life started to become important to me, this is what I mean now. It wasn't just a question of going to meetings. It wasn't a question of spending, looking at it like I went to 10 meetings this week, 5 meetings this week, I need a meeting, and things like that. That kind of thinking had to get out of my brain, my mind. And so that this here, what I was doing, my life became important because the importance was that I must have this program of recovery. I must be living today according to what the program of recovery is, even though I don't know what it is. I've got to come into this here program of recovery different than the way I started. I started with a sponsor, going to meetings, never changing, always doing the same thing, thinking the same way, acting the same way, using the same information, same set of brains that I use, and yet I'm sober. I'm not drunk, I'm not drinking, I'm not hanging around bars or nothing. Now the steps started to become a way of life in an application form, because there was a purpose here. Then started out, and I talked about it last night, where I had to change this here, put it in the singular first person pronoun of me and I. And so when I say things, whenever I talk or say things or anything like that, I know what I'm saying, and I'm not misreading something, and I know when they say we, I change it into I. So if I say I admitted I'm powerless over alcohol, that I know what I'm saying. See, so this here is a personal, an individual thing. Even though collectively we're all together for the same purpose and the same reason, but I have to put it on a different basis. So this also is that when I say words like I'm not telling you to do nothing. I'm just telling you what I had to do. And so this here is necessary in the message. For me, it is. And so, because words mislead me. I don't know if they mislead you, but they do mislead me. And I have to learn that not to use words that I'm used to using or accustomed to using in my vocabulary, my thinking, and everything else. So words like understand, words like that, I have to stop using that word. The reason why is because I found myself at meetings like this, retreats, or any place at all, don't make no difference, is the minute I say I understand, I am now the authority for my life. I am the one that says that I'm smart. I know all about everything. You're the one that's got to get it. I have it already. I've done it. It's a done deal. I've done it, period. When I say I understand, I put the power of myself in motion, in use. And I don't know this, though. I don't know this, see? So what it does to me, it stops me dead in my tracks. It closes my mind, shuts my mind down, just like that. And then there I am. I'm the same man as I've always been. Now, this might not be you. I don't know this, see? But I know me. It's because I'm so quick to go somewhere and to do something with no thought about anything other than, I understand. I know. I know what you're talking about. I know what you mean. You know, I see that. You know, but I don't really, because I don't know what an application means. I don't know the word application even, because it's something I never know how to do. I don't know how to take direction, and I don't know how to tell you anything at all with any authority that's worth anything. I just don't. And this here now was when I started in these steps. Now, step one is where I admitted I'm powerless over alcohol. Now I had to stop there and just leave it like that, period. Because words, now, if I go ahead and I finish that sentence out, where there's a dash and it says that my life is unmanageable, well, then I'm already at the end of the line, because I know all about what it said and I know what it means. And so I go through this now, And I just think that it's all right. It's a done deal. I know all about it. I understand this. I admit that I'm powerless over alcohol. See, I come out of an alky hospital, and so it says to me, I know what they mean. See, because they almost died in there. And I can't appreciate nothing. I can't get the benefit of nothing because I'm so smart. Because I just got through telling me I know all about this. And so I can't, I'm not willing, I'm not going to accept nothing. And so to look at the disease, you know, the best that I know is the 12 by 12. I go by the 12 by 12 all the time. I read the big book, of course. But I take what the 12 by 12 offers as an application to make some kind of a start, some kind of a beginning. And so that I'm wide open for this now. And so when I read, like in step one, and when I read these here words that they're talking about, and they're talking here that, like I had to know this, I had to know that in step one it says here, it says, it is truly awful to admit that glass in hand, I have warped my mind into such an obsession for destructive drinking that only an act of providence can remove it from me. So, I looked at this, what they're saying here, and never knew what it says here, what the intent of, because I know what they're saying, I understand this, see, but I don't understand it. Glass in hand, I warped my mind. See, what's a warped mind? See, because if you're capable, I was capable, I had a good job, and I do many things with success as far as the job is concerned, completing things, doing things, and so on like that. So, I couldn't buy into that. I wouldn't accept that because I don't think that's me. I don't think I'm quite that bad yet, or I think maybe that's you. See, and I think, so these kind of, I can't use nothing to a purpose, see, because I'm going to look at this and I'm going to go right on into the next page, the next page, next page, next thing you know. I'm done. It's a done deal. I've did it. I've done it all. See, and so the disease of alcoholism, when it's explained there in step one, it's of twofold nature, where it says that it's a mental obsession with a physical allergy. The physical allergy, I could understand. There you go again. See, I could understand something. But I don't know, and I'm not aware of what it means to have a physical allergy. See, because I'm going to have to learn a new language. We were just talking about that. I've been told a long time ago that Alcoholics Anonymous ought to write a dictionary, another dictionary. And in the dictionary, they ought to put all these words we use and the meaning behind it instead of the regular dictionary, because they're not the same thing. They're just absolutely not. And so this part here about step one, I had no trouble, believe me, with step one, the first half of step one. This here business now, I've lived a tough life, a hard life. I got hurt, injured real bad in many, many ways before AA, and then even when they put me in the Alky Hospital, that was something there that I just didn't think I belonged there, you know, to be strapped down on a bed and screwed to the floor and locked in a room, and they look at you through barred windows and all that, you know, and here I was, a big shot, I thought, you know, and I've done so much good and everything else, you know, and there I am, I don't know where I'm at, man, you know. And so I did admit, you know, I did hit bottom. The bottom I hit was necessary, and I believe step one has got a couple of things in there that should be talked about, and it's before, one of them is before the dash, and the next is after the dash and the step. And so how much of this here at that time, I didn't know how important anything was in Alcoholics Anonymous, because I was always trying to see and trying to be or go somewhere or have something, so that I never thought of changing. I never thought of being any different than I was. And the main name of the game, of course, was staying sober, not getting drunk. So to admit something is not to accept it. I could admit anything. Yet I found this out when I was drunk or sober. I would admit to my boss when he got me up in a soundproof room and he's chewing on me and he's going to fire me and he's going to do this and that. Man, I could admit anything. And you know, I hit bottom. I really hit bottom. See, and I would tell him, man, I'm not going to do it. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not going to do that no more. See, but that's saying something. That's admitting something, but that's not accepting something. And so this here now was in step one. If I don't know exactly what this is all about, and you know, the best part about this too is in step one is that It says in here, when first challenged to admit defeat, most of us revolted. We had approached AA expecting to be taught self-confidence. Well, I had to change now again. It says, I had approached AA to be taught self-confidence. Then I had been told that so far as alcohol is concerned, self-confidence was no good. Whatever, in fact, it was a total liability. Our sponsors declared that I was a victim of a mental obsession so subtly powerful that no amount of human willpower could break it. There was, they said, no such thing as a personal conquest of this compulsion by the unaided will. Relentlessly deepening my dilemma, our sponsors pointed out my increasing sensitivity to alcohol, an allergy they call it, the tyrant alcohol wielded a double-edged sword over us. First, we were smitten by an insane urge that condemned me to go on drinking, and then an allergy of the body that ensured I would ultimately destroy myself in the process. So this here to me was something. Now, if you told me this, like I would tell you this now, that this could be you, see, and put this on, just put it on you as something that you have to listen to me, hear this, because you're here for that reason. And so it's a personal thing, an individual thing. This is going to be taken now for what it says, that if I told you that no matter what you do, whether you drink or you don't drink, you're going to die. That's what it says. But see, nobody would say that to me. See, they said, just keep going to meetings. See, just keep doing this, doing that. They didn't make me aware of what these words mean and how they're written so that I could benefit from them and I can do what the others ahead of me have done with it. And so I had to now quit this business of myself being so smart, being so understanding that I, whatever you say, I might listen, I might not. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, see. And so this, for me, was starting now to change, because in the beginning I did the steps before this now, but I did it with a sponsor, a God man, a step man, a man that really was the man he said he was. But see, he had something I didn't have. See, he had the method and he had the power, meaning this, he already had a God, a Lord of his life that he was using. I didn't. And so here I am bucking up against something, and I want it, but I don't know what to do. And I'm lost. I'm really lost, because I'm getting stronger in my disease, because I'm thinking now thoughts about myself that I'm building a case against me. It's stopping me from going any farther, for benefiting, because I'm so damn smart. I know so much that I think that I can do this anyway. So I won't listen to you, and I won't apply this. I won't try to learn how to apply it. Because when they're talking about now, mainly for me, in step one, in the first half of it, they're talking about alcohol. I know a great deal about alcohol. They're not talking about alcoholism. They're talking about the wet. They're talking about the life that I know is what they're describing here. And it's going to kill me. And I'm going to have to accept this, not admit it. I'm going to have to accept this. I'm going to have to start realizing that this is all about me. This is, again, now about words that I come here for me, but I didn't know I came for me, because I didn't know what was needed for me. And I'm starting now to back down. I'm starting to let something happen. And this here stops me now. So it's a beginning. And the beginning I'm talking about now is a life that I want and I have to have. It's necessary and needed. I must have it. And so in the beginning, though, the first time in AA, not in AA, but in the steps, the first time, it was all as about me approving, disproving, me thinking I know it all, me saying to me, you got that, you know that, you've been through that. And see, I never accepted. I was always on the fence thinking that if the alcohol, when the alcohol is gone, I'm going to be a good guy. I'm going to be the guy I used to be. I'm going to be the man that's the boss. I'm going to be show these guys all about everything, how smart I am and everything else. See, never once ever realizing the true meaning of the disease of alcoholism. A mental obsession is not just a mental obsession where this obsession now is strictly that I'm going to drink someday. I'm going to be like my fellow man. I'm going to be able to go out and have some good fun and drink and be able to be all right, too. Now I'm past that. The mental obsession is all of this business now that everything and anything I do, I'm so damn smart that I can believe anything, do anything, have anything, so long as I stay sober. But in here it says no. It says the opposite. There's no such thing by the unaided will. There is none. And I'm starting to accept that now. I'm starting to realize that all these years, the life that I lived with alcohol, was a world that was, that's me. I do these things. I already plan things out. I'm already doing things and everything, and I can't stop me from doing it. Here they're starting to show me, so that I can have something in step one, which is very necessary, is that this alcohol is a disease, and it's in me. I accept that. I know this. See, before it wasn't that way at all, because this is the same thing as later on, that the part of the disease, when it starts coming out, if I know step one, the first half of it, later on now, in steps, I'll be there with the knowledge where I accept it's going to kill me, that this alcohol, and the second part now where the dash is, it says that my life is unmanageable, is talking mainly about the disease of alcoholism is a disease. It's an ism. My life's unmanageable because there's something in me, and it's there, it's always there. The difference lies in the fact that my mind has been hurt. I've got an injured mind. This is where I started to pick up on this business of accepting a brain that's bad, accepting a brain that's hurting me, accepting a brain that I use for a source of supply. I use that brain for everything. I use it for every and anything it is. I don't go no place else. I stay in my brain, my mind. And so this here now, what I'm saying again is that the disease of alcoholism is, it's there whether I'm drinking from the first half or whether I'm sober. My life's unmanageable because I have an unmanageable life whether I'm drunk or sober. And so why I have an unmanageable life? I have an unmanageable life because of my mind. It's what it is. It's what's in there. It's all it's got is what's there. And this is the description of trying to learn now of exactly why in the heck they call it alcoholism when you're not drinking. What causes an unmanageable, what is an unmanageable life? I had to learn what kinds, an unmanageable life is a world that I live in that I can't live in. Because the people and the things that are in there, I can't accept them. It's an unacceptable life. It's a life that turns all the time. It's a life I don't want to look at. It's a life that hurts me. Everybody in it is wrong. If they're not wrong today, they'll be wrong tomorrow. The things that I do all the time are repeat performance, and I can't stop it. And see, this business of living in a day that I'm in where I can't live in that day, and I'm sober, but it used to be I was drunk. I drank because the life that I lived, I had to drink. The only time I found any kind of solution, any happiness, any success, personal success even, inside, was it through the alcohol. I had to go into the bars. I had to drink the stuff. And then my whole life now started to change. All the memory is gone. All the harm's gone. All the hurt's gone. All the yesterdays are gone. Everything's gone. And I got a pretty good world. And I live in this world. And I love that world. And this is the description now of the disease of alcoholism for an introduction for step one. So that doesn't make no difference if I'm sober or I'm drunk. I've got a mind that thinks always the same way. It just takes me anywhere it takes me, the same way it took me before. And I don't have to have alcohol in me. It doesn't make any difference if it's in me or not. How I can accept this? Because I went for a long time, and I did. I was walking on eggshells. I would look at billboards when they have booze on there or something on there. And man, I'm telling you, I would get worried. I went to a party one time. And this party was a housewarming party, and I'm sober, but there were some people there, especially one gal I used to drink with. And so I don't even know she's there. And I walked in there, and I walked down to where the kitchen is, and I rounded the corner, and here she comes around the corner with two drinks in her hand, and I bumped right smack into her. And man, my old mind flipped, and I flipped, and everything else flipped. And I got running scared. My blood was boiling and everything else. But she had them two glasses in her hand, and she was coming right straight at me, man. And it just scared the devil out of me, because I didn't know what it was about. I was running from yesteryears. I was running from all of the past, and I was reliving everything in a split second about being drunk, because I have no defense against it. I didn't know why I was there, even as far as Alcoholics Anonymous is concerned. My mind, when I accept something, when I accept it. There's something different in my head now. Something's going inside of me that's needed to be there. because this here is going to be brought out later on in steps where it has to be this way specifically, and it's in step five. But in step one, I have to have a great amount of help to get going and to stay where I belong, so that the disease of alcoholism is there in everyday life, and it's going to stay there. Because I admit these things, I can accept them, and they're there. I can accept me, really, for what's on step one. How much of step one we can go into as far as the application of it. But I believe that the last part, it says in here, why all this insistence that every AA must hit bottom first? The answer is that few people will sincerely try to practice the AA program unless they have hit bottom. For practice in AA's remaining 11 steps means the adoption and attitudes and actions that almost no alcoholic is still drinking. I had to change that now. I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm in a program of recovery. This isn't now about something of the yesteryears. This is about today. And it's talking in here, it says, who is still drinking can dream of taking. I had to change that because I should. What I have to put there for me, not you, is that I have to put, instead of drinking, I have to put thinking. Because this is now, I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous. This is in the program of recovery. And the important thing for me is to know that whether I am drinking or thinking, it makes no difference. The alcoholism is still the same. It's still the same. Does the same. Everything's the same. And so, who wishes to be rigorously honest and tolerant? Who wants to confess his faults to another and make restitution for harm done? Who cares anything about a higher power, let alone meditation and prayer? Who wants to sacrifice time and energy in trying to carry the AA's message to the next sufferer? No, the average alcoholic, self-centered in the extreme, doesn't care for this prospect unless he has to do these things in order to stay alive himself. And that was so important for me, to know that this here is all about me. That I have to have this here to be able to have what they say I can have. Because I don't want to do these things either. It's just like at a meeting like this, after you sit here for maybe an hour, next thing you know, you get tired and you're sitting still and you wish you were somewhere else and you start dreaming about this, start thinking you'll go over there, you were last night, I was here, and so the disease of alcoholism has already been identified in the ABCs, and now we're going to go into steps which is the recovery program. The recovery program isn't meetings. It's 12 steps. Because in the 12 steps now, and they've started in one, is the method that I must have as the alcoholic. I can't say I understand and I know all this. I can't say it. Because I used to do this and I haven't done this. But now, my life's important to me. So when this day goes, every second of this day, I'm going to give it 100% of whatever I got for what's there. I might not have 100% of 100%, but I'm going to have 100% of whatever I do have, and if it's 50%, I'm going to give the whole 50% to this here, what we're doing, because this is my life. I'm not doing it for you. And see, step one, I had to have this hammered into me hard, real hard, so that the importance of why I'm here doesn't get shoved aside in being sober. Because it matters if I am sober, I'm still an alcoholic with alcoholism. If it's not treated, I'm going to do again the same thing I've always done. See, and this here starts to put something on me, so it isn't an understanding thing up here. It's not. See, this is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition, which comes from the steps. This is what I call hammering. I keep saying the same thing over, but I'm not saying the same thing over again. Because what I'm saying over and over all the time is a message. And this message is a daily living life that goes on all day long. So this starts, this is the beginning now. So that I don't get down the line somewhere, meaning in other steps, other areas, and other days, and lose this or put it aside or forget it. Man, I can't do that. I just can't do it. Because if I don't have this, what have I got? I got me again. And I don't want me again. Because that's who brought me here. To just talk about words or to read something or to listen to something, I can't figure this out. You were talking about that before. Is that you leave it up to me to understand, to pick up on whatever you say, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But I can do it, though, if I have the method, meaning the 12 steps. This is now a beginning of a change of character. This is a start of principles principles. Now, I have to, remember I was talking about the word has to be, I have to know words better than what words are, because my mind will sort things out and push things away and deny things and do a lot of things, because I think the word only means one thing, and it doesn't. It could mean many, many things. And so that's the same as the word alcoholism. It used to be a word. Now it's not a word. It's much more than that. It's a way of life. And it's something that I have to do myself. Now, whether you pick up on this or not, I don't know. Whether you need it or not, I don't know. But if the seriousness of this is not put forward enough, heavy and hard enough, then maybe you might do the same thing I did. I'll be satisfied with something. I'll take something as, man, that's all I need. Now I know. If I'd have known that yesterday, I'd have been all right. Things like that. See? You should have told me that last week. You know, that's when I was really in trouble. See? All of this kind of thinking, see, you know, it's a killer. It really is. This is a life and death proposition. This is a port of last call. There is no place that you and I, as alcoholics with alcoholism, can go. Only here, because it's been proven. I proved it myself in my own life, and then others before me and after me proved the same thing. Alcoholics Anonymous is here to treat alcoholism. It's not here to treat anything else. Nothing else. I'm not denying what follows being sober in the program recovery, but I'm saying that's primary. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here for what I thought I came here for a lot of reasons. I'm not. Because if I have this way of life, which they're starting to do right now, I know that all things will be well. I know that there's places I can go that I never used to be able to go. There's things I can do, that genuinely do, with success. Success means exactly what it says. I can do something that's done the way it should be done so that I don't have to live in a world that I can't live in. That's what makes an unmanageable life. I can accept people today, starting right from here, and we'll go into farther into steps. I can accept you, whoever you are, without wanting you to change. I don't want to change you. I can accept you the way you are. And man, I never could do that before. My disease of alcoholism wouldn't let me do it because it didn't have the method behind it to do that, because I don't know what's wrong. Now they're trying to tell me what's wrong. This here hitting bottom is a major, major thing. So that this step one, I've got to have it because my life depends on it. My life's important to me. I want what God wants me to have, but I don't even know what it is yet. I don't even know this God. I came here without anything other than me. And step one now means a great deal to me because of the disease being of a twofold nature. I accept it's in me. It's what my life's all about. It's my past track record. There's nothing else there, only tragedy, unmanageable life, hurt, and pushing and shoving, and living in a world that's wrong. It's always wrong. Everything's wrong. We'll go into the next step before we say anything about it, anything else on that. You know, in step two, it says, I came to believe that a power greater than me can restore me to sanity. And in step two is all these, you know, each step to me, each step when I'm in the step, as far as application, reading, and talking about it, or anything else like that, each step takes on greater meaning because of the importance of what's in the step. And then when I get out of the step, maybe another step comes in, and it becomes bigger and more important and so on. Because step two is what, I missed step two in Alcoholics Anonymous, the first time in steps and the second time in steps two, of learning application and all that, is because I seen something in the step and the wording that I didn't like, and I thought it meant something that it doesn't mean. And when they talked in here, it says in here that could restore me to sanity, and I thought they were referring to insanity, and it doesn't mean that at all. It has no reference to insanity. It has reference only to soundness of mind, what it talks about in here. And so I had to go back, and I had to do step two over and over and over again until I could benefit from it, until it became a way of life, until it was something that was in me so that I could actually apply the meaning behind it. Now, there's so much in two, but the major two things in two that I talk about is so that I know it's something I need. And this is when they're talking in here, the sponsor's talking to the to his baby, and he's talking, and he says in here, that agrees with sponsors, a very good question. Indeed, I think I can tell you exactly how to relax. You won't have to work hard at it either. Listen, if you will, to these three statements. First, Alcoholics Anonymous does not demand you believe anything. All of us 12 steps are big suggestions. Second, to get sober and stay sober, you don't have to swallow all of step two. Right now, looking back, I find I took it piecemeal myself. Third, all you really need is an open mind. Just resign from the debating society and quit bothering yourself with such deep questions as whether it was the hen or the egg that came first. All I say, what you really need is an open mind. An open mind is something that I never had. I never owned it, never knew it, didn't know what it was or anything else like that. And this is very, to me, it's very important to talk about an open mind. Because in step two, to come to believe in something other than me, which is something I don't even know what they're talking about, it's a language I don't know. How can I believe in something other than me when I went through all of my life? I was 31 and a half years old when I got here. And I've done nothing but believe in me, talk to me, use me, be with me, and everything is about me. And now they say I'm going to have to believe in something other than me. I don't even know how to do it. I don't even know what that means. And the open mind has had to play a role in my life, and it still does today. Because an open mind, I find out that an open mind is not an empty mind or a vacuum mind or a mind that is dumb or stupid or ignorant or any other thing like that. An open mind is a mind that where self isn't captured with self. A mind that isn't full of me, full of preconceived ideas, full of memory, full of ideas, feelings, emotions. This is why in AA that I hear mostly women alkies, but I hear some men do it too, is where they say they have to express their feelings. They have to have their feelings and stuff like that. Man, if you know an alcoholic like I know an alcoholic, meaning me, there ain't no way that I would have anything me that's genuine, real, or valid, or anything else, and feelings are one of them. There's no way I can trust feelings. Because you come out of a brain like I got with feelings, and it's liable to kill you. It'll put you on a chopping block right away, man, you know. Feelings. An open mind, believe me, is something that I never had, never knew was needed, didn't recognize it. To have an open mind, can you imagine taking somebody like when I got here, the life I lived and everything else, when you fight and you push and you shove and you do many, many things all the time to make the world you're in a world you can be in, that's got to be a closed mind. Because there was nothing there that I had an approval on. I had to make everything, change everything, push everything, shove everything, fight everything, do everything, and never knew what an open mind was. And then when it says quit the debating society, and the debating society isn't about a chicken or an egg. The debating society is my mind that won't accept nothing, hardly, won't approve nothing, looks at everything and wants to change it, thinks it should be another way, argues against anything you're doing because I think it's wrong, and the debating society is against the world. See, I thought the unmanageable life and the unmanageable was what the world was doing to me. But it's not. It's what I was doing to the world. But I couldn't see that. Nobody would say, here's what's wrong with you. You've got a brain that's perverse. It does the opposite of what it should do. Instead of looking over here, you're looking over here. Instead of going there, you're going there. See, this here is a mind that I use that controls me. It's closed. The thing is already fixed. Because it got fixed when I was drinking. It got fixed when I was out there pushing and shoving. It got full of everything, but only because I put it there. I want it there. I want it this way, and I don't want it no other way. The open mind, even today, this day, today, I must have an open mind today. Because immediately I'll find fault. Immediately I'll revert back to whatever I revert back to as far as the power, the information, and the memories and all that. And so I can't accept things today. I maybe you don't know it, but maybe I'm quarreling with you right now in my head. Maybe I'm saying something about the way to myself, about the way I see you, the way you look, the way you do things. I've got a debating society going on. It's me up here, and I can't stop it because I don't know it's there. I don't even know what it's doing to me. How much of this here right now that you want to, that you'll even consider or look at in your own life? I learned a long time ago that this here, whenever something is there with an open mind, at least I can look at it. I can see, maybe, I wonder if I do this. I wonder if I'm like that. I wonder if I treat people this way. I wonder if I, and so I started now looking inside and because of what was going on in my life. This means now the steps. We're starting to find principles. Now, when I was saying before I had to learn words, I had to stop now in this word principle. I don't know about you guys, but for me, the word, I think I know the word. I think I know what it means, principle. But I don't know what it means in application. I don't know what it means to live in a world out there so that I'm guided by principles. Because principles, to me, are things that are for other reasons. It has nothing to do with what I'm doing. It doesn't, you know, there's no, what principle would there be behind driving a car? I don't know. I don't even think that a principle is needed there. What principle would be needed to have a friend, a buddy, or something like that? What principle? There's got to be something here to benefit from. There's got to be something. There's got to be some purpose here besides just words. Because words, I can't remember them quick enough when I'm living in a world I'm in. When I go out in that world out there, I can't remember what page that was that said, do this, do that. It said, wait a minute, I'll have to figure out how to run this guy off the road, but first I got to find out what's wrong. See, I can't think like that. So the hardest thing is to get it across my BB brain is that this is starting to build a life in Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, this is starting to build a life. So the character that I am, I can be the character that I should be, but according to the application of the steps, which is the method of living and the power, meaning God, so that I don't have to get ready. I don't have to look in terms of what page it was on. What does it mean to do this and that? When do you do this and that? The character that I'm starting to build now is a character that can walk in any room, any building, any day, any place, anywhere at all. And I'm not loaded with this information, this here, this mind that's so closed and so full of yesterdays, so full of memory, so full of people. It's not. So I can be somebody now that I never could be before. And it doesn't come in time. It doesn't come because of maybe one special step or something like that. It doesn't come that way. There's a total change of character. A character. The word character, I used to hate the word a character. And I always thought that the word character was something that you use to treat somebody the way you want to treat them, you know. And it ain't good. So now the word character is starting to, and this will come out real heavy later on because it comes real strong in step seven. But down where I'm at now is learning about, I'm a character. The reason I'm a character, I represent whatever is inside of me. I show you whatever it is I have. If I'm a mean character, I show you a mean character, you know, and so on. So the character that they're trying to show me to be, to build, the same way I built the old character, I used to build it out in the world, fighting and cheating and shoving and doing stealing and many, many things. And this was the disease that I was perfecting to live in the world I was in. And step two is talking in here about the open mind and about the debating society. And I, to me, these are major things right now. Today, even today, is to keep an open mind is a principle. The principle is that I must live daily with an open mind. This is a principle. I had to change the word principle into the word truth because I don't know the word principle in application. I know the word truth in application, though. If I'm going to be honest, that's a principle. But so I had to learn that the word principle, I have to stop using it myself, for myself, not you. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you what I did. So that I could start looking at words like truth. The truth is, don't lie, Anderson. The truth is, you be a friend. You be a friend first. You do these things. The principle is what I'm going to do that I'm going to base my life on. The truth. Because I had to look it up and find it that it says that a principle is an essential truth where all truths are based from. So why can't I use the word truth if I can benefit from it? And I can use it where the word principle gets lost in application. I'm answering a phone. I'm driving my car. I'm going out here, going there. First thing you know, here I come on real strong. the principle wasn't there. But if the truth was there, that I could see that what the things that I'm doing, don't lie, don't cheat, don't get mad, don't do this, don't do that. A principle is going to be there for me to look at, so that this here, what I'm doing now, I can recognize it. I want to be an honest man. I don't want to have honesty as a principle by a word principle. I want to have it by the truth of using the word that I'm saying. I found out that you can't have a principle in your life without being with it. In other words, using it. I can't be honest unless I am honest. I can't benefit. I can't have truth in my life unless I use the word truth for my life. And so this maybe sounds complicated or double talking, but it's not when I start going into step application, because I have to have more than what I have, because what I have is always on memory or on yesterday. This is starting now. How can I apply an open mind if you don't tell me how to use an open mind? What's an open mind? See, an open mind to me would be accepting or adjusting my thinking, or not quarreling with something, or trying to see if there is something there that I'm not aware of, or something there for a purpose, something there that I might benefit from, something there that's there, needed there. But I'm going to have to look for it. I'm going to have to, because I'm against everything. This is all new stuff to me. Step two, I still think, and it ends this way in step two, and it talks in here, it says, therefore, step two is a rallying point for all of us, whether agnostic, atheist, or former believer. We can stand together in this step. True humility and an open mind can lead us to faith, and every AA meeting is the assurance that God will restore us to sanity if we rightly relate ourselves to Him. So there was a couple of things in two that I still talk about today, still look at today, still read today, and it's always about this sanity, soundness of mind, wholeness of mind, wellness of mind. Because they're not talking about insanity, because I was a service manager and I worked real hard. I know a great many things, and I'm not a nut. I just have a bad brain. And the bad brain I have is only there for certain conditions, certain reasons, because I can work, I can function at work, so long as I don't get involved with people, so long as I don't want to change situations or have things that I can't have and so on like that. Sanity of mind would be wholeness of mind of not using defects of character, not getting angry, not showing you me when you go too far or anything like that. Sanity would be no more than quit quarreling with life. Accept things, at least let things there. Sanity, it would be soundness, wholeness of mind, so I don't have to keep looking at things and wanting to change them and then getting the hurting people and getting an unmanageable life, creating a scene or going and arguing with somebody when there's no point of argument. But I don't know these things because you don't tell me what creates an unmanageable life. Tell me what creates an unmanageable life. The way I drive a car, that's an unmanageable life. I drive two cars. I drive yours and mine. See, that's not soundness of mind, man. That's crazy, you know. And so I'm not insane. But I'm doing things that I don't know what else to do. I just don't know. The quality of my life started to come into the picture now in step two, because I had to keep going to two all the time for what it really is. And it says that I'm going to come to believe in a power that's greater than me. And it said power. And I never looked at me as a power. I never once considered me as a power in reference to what they're talking about. Because I always thought that my job says I do it this way, I do everything, my life is my life. I have to do these things. And so soundness of mind and this here, believing in something other than self, there's a reason for this. And I like with me, I missed two, and so when I went to three, there's no way I could ever do three. Because I did not do two as far as the character. I did not have principles any different than I had before. I was still the same man because I left two out. So that meant I have to perform the same way I've always performed. So then the next step, when it says I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God as I understood Him, I don't know who I am and I don't know who God is. There's no way. Because step two says that I'm going to come to believe in something other than me. Then what's that mean? See, just because we're not a three yet, or I'm only in two. So if I'm going to believe in something other than me, how can I possibly do this? If they're showing me that in soundness and sanity of mind, it says in there that it doesn't say sobriety. It doesn't say that at all. It says sanity, soundness of mind. So here I am in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm not drinking. I've got a mind that's still the same mind I've always had. It thinks the same, acts the same, and everything else. How can I believe in something other than what I believe in? Because I've always believed in everything I ever said or did. It's always backed up by my past track record of success or failure. It's still the same thing all the time. I had to see now who I am. And the way it was is it says, I came to believe in a power greater than me. And so I started to see something now, or look at something anyway, or become aware of it, is that I'm a power. This is me. I'm a power. And they want me to believe in some other power that's greater than this power. So they don't define it. They don't say it is a God. They don't say it's a higher power. It's a power. And so this means now that the open mind that I need has to be open. It's just got to be open. It can't be any more closed, because what's in step two is that I'm going to do something now, and I have to do this. I have to believe that there's something other than me. But you're going to have to describe this so at least I can identify it. So it's something that it's going to be something that I'll at least say or admit that it's there, or it could be there. And so this is believing in a power that's greater than me. Now, the power they're talking about now, I'd accept it, because I never gave a desperation prayer. I never thought in terms of God. I wouldn't allow the word in my language, and I wouldn't allow people around me that used it and everything else like that. So they want me to believe in something other than me. Now, if this step wasn't there, there's no way possible could I ever do step three. Back then, I'm talking about. And so that's the same thing now, is to be wide open, my mind to be wide open, to see or to have or to be introduced or become aware of something that can do something I can't do. Something that is possible to be there for me also. That I can have something now that can do something I can't do. Because it says, I'm going to come to believe in a power greater than me that can restore me to soundness of mind, wholeness of mind. And so this here now is like looking at two things. For me it was. Here's something they're talking about, it's me, I know me. Here's something else that's there that can do something that I can't do, better than I can do. It's a guarantee. It's already there, it's established. And so when I'm introduced to step three, that I made a decision to turn my will of my life over to care of this God, this power, that was explained in two. Now, the biggest thing here was in step three, because two and three, I believe they're all hooked together, but two and three are there in an order form. They must be there. Two's got to be ahead of three here, and this is where I'm starting to learn now about principles, and I'm also learning that this step must be done before the other step, or otherwise the other step will not treat my alcoholism. It won't. Because the principles aren't there, and the method isn't there of living. The method meaning the recovery program. When step three came along, and step three says that I admit that I made a decision to turn my will and life over to care of God, I start now to see what it means by a power greater than self. Although in two it said a power, three says it's a God. If this is the program of recovery, so when it says, as I understood them, I started to realize that they're talking about the power that's in two, that can do something I can't do, that's greater than me, and so now they're introducing who this power is. This isn't about a God of my childhood. This isn't about a God of church or a God of my father. This is about a recovery program. God as I understood him from step two. God is a power greater than me. It's something that I can have. It's something that's there for me too. Regardless of anything and everything, it's still a power greater than me that can do what I can't do, and I can make a decision to turn my will and my life over to his care as I understood him from two, meaning that my will and life now, the actual thinking process, the mind that I have, the mind that got warped in one, where it's talking in one, and two, it even says in two that I'll admit I'm a problem drinker, but in fact I won't admit I'm mentally ill. That's in your last page in step two. And now in three, they're saying to me that I can make a decision. I can do something now that I know what I'm doing. I can actually do something. I can turn my life and my will. My will is my thinking, is my very being. The character that I am is controlled by a power, and it's a will. It's a mind. And this here now is not a quarrel. I don't need to quarrel with this. I don't need to say that won't work, that's religion, that's church stuff. I can't do it no more because two stopped me dead in my tracks. Three says now the identity of God is in a power form that comes from two. So I can accept something now, and when I say turn my will and my life over to him, my will is my mind. My mind. Where everything is in. My memory is there. Everything is there. All my ideas, feelings, emotions, you name it. I don't care. All information is coming from my mind. My life is the performance that I'm in the day I'm in. My life is what I do right now. This is my life. This is my life. If I turn my will, make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, in other words, put it in his care instead of my care, then this here has got some meaning behind it. Because if I make a decision is always I'm going to do something or I'm not going to do it. It's lopsided. It's going one way or it's going the other way. Here I'm making a decision to do something. Turn my will and my life over to God's care as I understood him from two of what that is in power form. God is a power and I'm a power, but I can't use my power no more. I have to use the power that's greater than my power. And I'm starting to bury something deeper in me. I'm starting to accept something. I'm starting now not to quarrel and not to say certain things against things, religion, Catholics, and different things where before I was always in a debating society. I was always saying that's not needed, that's junk, that's baloney, that has nothing to do with what I'm about or anything else. It started to take this ego factor that I have inside of me. It started to slow me down. It started to open my brain up and keep it open. It started to be able to listen a little more carefully. Because my life is starting now to become something other than what it was. There's something being added to my life. I had a stag meeting up in San Fernando. And San Fernando, there was a man up there, an Alki up there, that taught me how to actually pray and talk to. And to actually have some kind of a communion, some kind of a petition or relationship with a power, which he called God, was his God, not mine. And he taught me how to do this. He taught me how to pray, call him by name, how to associate words to God so that I would benefit from, because I was angry, I was hostile, I was mad, mean all the time, I was always looking for trouble, and I was always, everywhere I went, it was always a fight, it was always an argument, there was something going on, something, wherever I was, man, it was there. And so this here now, he told me about this. He said, why don't you try this here God that I have? Whatever you have doesn't seem to be working. And this is where now, when step two, it says, I came to believe in a power greater than me. What I did, I went to work, and I started associating my life at work to this man's God by talking to this here God at work only. And so this here started now something that it was very self-evident in a short while of talking to a God. I asked this here God to help me with my anger and my hostility. I can't work with this guy. And he, you know, I'm thinking bad thoughts. Would you help me? And so on like this. And I started doing this. And I don't want to take too long on this, but at least I want to say it, is that as I started to do this here at work, I started slowing down in my brain as far as seeing trouble and seeing crap and seeing guys that I didn't like and they're doing this and that. I slowed down a little bit. And so all of a sudden, you know, I wasn't looking at these here guys with such angry, hostile eyes and thoughts and emotions that were going on and all that, because I was upset, man. I didn't know what I'm doing. My mind's talking to me and I'm going crazy. And so here I started to slow down a little bit and something else was being added to my mind. And so all of a sudden these guys said, Anderson, are you going to church? And I said, no. And they said, well, something's happening to you. And see, what was happening to me was, you know, to them it was very obvious. See, is that something else was there instead of what was there. There was a portion, or a small bit anyway, of another power, which is God. But I don't know this, because I don't know what that means. I don't even know how to do it. And so in step three, whether I'm a believer or not, whether I had a God or not, doesn't make any difference. There's a direction to do something so that what I can do is going to be treating alcoholism. I'm going to allow something now to be there that which wasn't there before. And that's this here now. This is where I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God as I understood him. And I understood him. I'm not understanding him. It's understood who the power is. It's understood to me even today that this God is a power, and I am a power. But this power in me, man, there's no equal there. This God must be there. It's understood. If God isn't there, I'm there. It's understood that I can't do what God can do. It's understood to me that I pray to God. Every time I pray to Him, I have a life that I never had before. I have things happen that I don't even know how to make them happen, and they happen anyway. And so this here is mine. It belongs to me. But it comes only in the step application of a way of life, because they're principles. They're not steps. They go all the way through 12 in a numbered form, so that I don't mix them up. I don't put one ahead of another, so that one doesn't become more important than the other one, so that the principles that come out of the steps will change the character that I am. Then I can live in the world, wherever I'm at, whether it's here or wherever it's at, because I'm not running scared. I'm not going up into a brain that's fogged up. I'm not going places I used to go to get ideas and feelings and emotions and everything else. This is a proven way of life. This is already there. It's in print. Every bit of it is. This is serious stuff. But it saved my life. It gave me a world that I never knew existed. I never lost it through drinking. I never knew it was there. This here now, something's happening to me. And I knew it too. Because I wasn't so powerful. I wasn't so angry. I wasn't walking around with a chip on my shoulder all the time. Sure, there was times I was. But it wasn't a way of life. I was starting now to come away from some place where I never could come away from before. Step three is each one of these steps, they're in a logical order form. And I know Bill Wilson could never put them in that order form by himself with his mind. I know it's God-inspired. I know God wanted this program recovery here to treat alcoholism, because there was no treatment before this. And so here we are now, like this here morning right now. Man, we got a hold of something that's powerful. We got a hold of something that's there for each and every one of us. Because all it does, one thing, treats alcoholism. That's what I come for. That's why I'm attending meetings all the time, to treat alcoholism. But you see, there's more behind it now. There's more than just being sober. There's more than just being just get out in the world and have a world. No, it's more than that, much more than that. It's a world out there. I don't even know what's out there, but boy, it's out there, and it's good. Every bit of it is. I'm talking too long on this here step here, I think. Huh? We're going... Step one, two, and three. Here's the way I have to look at it, and this is what I talk about all the time, is that the alcoholism, ego, and self, if that isn't brought to the surface and kept there, the reason for the disease or why it's a disease and what it does and how it functions and where it functions and all that, I go into steps and I really don't have much going at all. I just don't have very much going for me, because the steps get lost. They get put into a place where it's a done deal. I'm all right today because I got the car and the wife and the job and the money and everything else, and so it isn't very important anymore to consider a bent mind, a hurt mind, a mind that's always there and ready to go at any minute. And so this importance of this here message is a continuous, every day, all day, because even page 85 on your big book in there, and it's talking in there that I'm not cured of alcoholism. What I really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. My spiritual condition now is step three. I'm starting an application for a way of life where I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God as I understood Him. Understood Him is again the same thing from step two. It's a program of recovery. It means that this here God is not a church God. He's not a God of ritual. He's not a God of identity. He's not a God of time. He's a living God. He's a living God in the day I'm in. Man, I'm telling you, that's when I found that out, I can take God anywhere I go. And I mean power now. Let's put it in the word power. I can take the power that's greater than me anywhere and everywhere I go. I can go into troubles, tragedy, adversity, unhappiness, or anything. And the power is there for the same reason, to take care of me, guide me, direct me. No harm will come to me. To actually give me something, before I used to try to supply out of myself, and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't make it by myself. This is very, very important. This is so important. Steps one, two, and three, if you, and I know this, if you don't know it, the way I think. If you don't know ABCs, steps 1, 2, and 3, I don't know how much far, I don't know any way that you as an alky, me as an alky, could go any farther in a program recovery. I don't see how you could do it. Because now there's things that have to be done that there's no possible way I would be able to do them. There's none at all. How could I make a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, by myself? My disease says, no, there's nothing wrong. You're okay, man. Just stay sober and you're going to make it. People, other alkies tell me the same thing. No way. No way at all. There must be something going on here in Alcoholics Anonymous, far greater and far more than I could get through my BB brain, because all I have to do is be satisfied. All I have to do is get what I want. All I have to do is just feel that, man, I got the world by the tail now, and I'll fall right on my face. I'll do damage, I'll get hurt, and here comes the disease again. Now I'm back to where I was when I first got here. I'm the power that's running my life, and I'm not recognizing and identifying this other power, which is God. This is, as we go along, it's going to get stronger, stronger, stronger. And what it gets stronger is the dependency, and it's the use or the recognition of this power, of this God. Because I know that it takes two ingredients. I know this. And it takes the power that's greater than me, any human power. It says so in your other ABCs and after your in chapter 5, that God could and would if he were sought. And now here this is starting to come to life now, and I'm starting to realize exactly a lot of words and why they're said, and I must know these words, and I must not understand them. I must be aware of them, because when I'm aware of them, I have a power now with me that makes me see and have and do things now differently than I ever knew how to do anything before. And so in 4, when I make a searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, now I'm backed up by a lot of help that I never had before. I'm backed up by a power that's greater than me, a Lord, a God of my life. Now when I go into, when I actually make a searching and fearless moral inventory, you know, I had a last retreat, I had this guy ask me, this alky asked me, to define what a searching and fearless moral inventory is by the words of what it says. And that's a good question too, by the way, is to want to know why they would word in Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps, why they're worded like they are worded in the form and the order form they're in, the logical order form too. And when they get to 4, is that if it was left up to me as an alky, it was left up to me to figure out what a searching and fearless moral inventory is. You know what kind of a job I would give that by myself? You know what I would call searching for, you know, would be whatever comes to the top, the easiest thing that ever popped there. That would be about the only thing I would think of. And as far as fearless, why, I wouldn't even consider what the word fear means even. You know, I'd think that's not needed. You know, who needs a fearless list, you know? But, you know, another thing about step 4 I believe it's the most misunderstood step by other alcoholics. And some of you, I believe, have heard it or know, or I know Ron does, and that is that the character defects that I have, I don't know what a character defect is. I really don't know until it comes time to really start putting it down on paper. Because I was programmed to think in terms of going backwards and when you were first born and then maybe a kid and then going through some struggles in kindergarten or whatever grade you went through and add it all that up and then go searching back through that stuff and see what's back there so that you could put it down for today's life. And that's the problem, see, is that you were locked in a closet, you were kicked in the hind end of your kid or whatever happened, and now that's what made you drink and that's why you're like you are today and all that. But that isn't what that's about, because, you know, I found out that this inventory they're asking about and they're talking about is that the day that I'm in, I live in the day that I'm in, but I don't really know that in that concept. And these yesterdays, I don't live in the yesterdays, and I don't perform today because it is yesterday. I perform today because it's today. And so what I use today is in my mind today. But it also, though, if there's something in my mind today that did come from when I was a kid and it's still there today, sure, put the thing down. It's got to be put down. It's necessary. But if it's not there, then I have to go searching for it to find out if it is there, and it's not in today's life, then it's not a defect of character that I'm using today. Now, I don't know if that makes sense to you or not, but it does to me. It's because everything that's in my brain that I use today, regardless of where it come from and when it come from or however it come, doesn't make any difference. The important part about it is that in there today, if it is, put it down. If it did bounce off of yesterday or yesteryears or when I was a kid, still put it down if it's still there today. Soon as I started getting a concept going about this, then I could realize that the day I live in is the days that have where the defects are being used. And if they're being used, then I can identify them. And the way I can identify them easier is to associate them to people, especially people that are close to me, like my mother, father, brother, sister, aunts, uncles, and so forth, the bosses or whatever, somebody I'm friends even, anybody I'm around all the time, so that I can identify through people how I act, how I think, the way it affects me. Because I'm already now in a place where I have some power behind me now to do this. There's a purpose here. There's a direction here. There's an admittance, an acceptance already been established. So I'm not afraid. I'm not going to try to hide. I'm not going to try to cover it up. I'm not going to try to say that this is not true and that's not needed and so on. So I can look at me to see me and who I am, the true inner man, the true character that I am, the character that's inside of me that lives and thinks and acts because he's loaded with that character. That character is what is the whole basis of his life. He's full of all the things he says he's full of, if he says it. I started writing about these things. The things that I kept coming out first was the anger and the hostility that I used in my life that was in my brains for my life. Didn't make no difference who you were. I might not show you today, but I'll show you eventually who I am. I'm loaded with me. I got to put down what I'm loaded with. And so to recognize these things, I'm going to have to put people there, because this is where the association of the defect of character was pronounced, where it was established, where you could see it, identify it. And then there had to be a fearless. And I had to find out that the fearless that was there was always coming from a defect or about a defect character. It's like being, it's like stealing. And there's fear behind stealing. Stealing, getting caught. Being found out. Same thing as lying. All of these things had to be put down for me to see me, to recognize me and establish what's in me and who I am, the character that I am. And so I started going into areas because of people. People made me look deeper, made me go farther into my inventory of myself. And this year, Ron, you used to take them every year. I don't know if you still do it every year or not, but you used to do it every year. And I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just saying that it's necessary to do a searching and fearless moral inventory, whether you do it 100 times, a million times, or one time a day. So long as it's satisfactory to your life as you live your life, to what's needed. And so because in steps now, there's another step that's also included along with this, and that'd be step 10, but not for the same purpose. It's in principle, it says all inventories are alike, but in 4 is the real character that I am. The character from 1 to 6 now is where this is starting to, for me, was starting to be identified. To build a character, first I'm going to have to see who the character is or what I am. In other words, I can't build a new character without knowing anything about the old character. I have to establish all of this so that I can have God take that from me, because that's what step 6 will do, but we're in 4. So this here now is starting to make sense. Sense only meaning that I keep going ahead, I want more, I'm willing to go more, I've accepted more, and this here is becoming a life that I'm more aware of. That as I live my life, I have to have all of these things that are there in the steps. I have to have the method that steps produce. I have to do these things. And I associate my life to this here now because the character that I am. They're going to build a new character. The character that's being showed to me right now is a character so that the disease of alcoholism can be treated. It's not being treated yet, but it will be. Now, this is like an axe, or it was like with me, it's like waiting for something that I don't know when the hell it's going to happen. I don't know if it'll ever happen. And so as I'm going along, I want more. I want to go. I'm getting antsy about things, and especially about inventory. You know, and inventories are so powerful. They're so misunderstood. It'd be a better word, is that alkies go around driving their car with them locked in their trunk. You know what I'm talking about there. You know. they write the thing and then they hide the thing. So they don't want to go any farther, and they're afraid of even doing anything with it, you know. And so this year now, I think that the searching and fearless moral inventory, the word moral, it stops from hiding that if you look at the thing for what it is. Because this year, I believe what, for me anyway, is that I always thought I was a leper. The things that I did, the really, honestly, you know, boy, this was a killer. The things that I did in the drunken stage were things I should never do, and I was still doing them, you know. And as I went along, well, these things were on my brain. They were heavy on me. They, you know, I went to bed every night. I woke up with them. I took them with me to work, and I took them home, put them to bed again, woke up with them, took them to bed next night. So it was a continuous mind that was ratty, man, and that was so capable of turning and just jumping in there and just doing damage again and again and again. And step four, though, is where I'm supposed to be in the program recovery, is trying to identify the character, not do anything with it yet or anything else, but just expose it to self. At least look at the thing anyway. See, don't shove it aside, don't deny it or anything else like that. But the character that I'm building is building principles now. And the principles, like I said in the beginning, is that the word itself, so I changed it to truth. I was starting to realize that they're talking about a great many things that I can have in my life, that I genuinely can have, but I don't know how to do them yet, but I can have them because they're starting to be exposed to me. Because what I'm putting down in an inventory, I'm putting down defects of character, meaning a character that has defects, a defective character, that there's something there that shouldn't be there. I'm doing something I shouldn't do. And so the more that I learn about why they do step four and what a defect of character is, the more that I can take in, I can accept it, I can look at it, I'm not afraid to talk about it, I'm not afraid to identify it. I'm not afraid to tell you even, and I haven't even got in step five yet. But I'm starting to be open, and I don't want to have to hide the darn thing or anything else, or I'm afraid of who am I going to do this with? I did it with my sponsor, everything with my sponsor. But the kind of thinking that goes along is because of the diseased mind, because of the alcoholism, because I haven't done anything yet, because all I'm doing is looking at it, I'm exposing it. And to be specific about this, It would take all day to get in defects of character, start naming them, to start telling you about them and everything else like that. Because I think that most of you guys anyway have got sponsors, or you know defects of character, or you've done step four, or at least you read it and been talking about it or something like that. So to be specific about step four would be no more than what I had to do, is that I had to realize that defects of character are always things that I do I should never do. That's got to be implanted in my brain. I accept that. I know it's me. I know what they're talking about. And so this is something that I'm going to leave out in the open. To me, it's in the open. It's on the surface. Not, I'm not going to shove it aside or put it back into bed and not look at it again or anything else like that. I'm going to start to identify things that these defects of character are always things that I'm doing I shouldn't do. They're always harmful things. They're always things that cause an unmanageable life. They're always related to the other steps. There's a purpose here that has to be kept alive from step one. I've carried in principles, then step two, to three, and now we're going into four. So they're starting to become a way of life. There's starting to be something here that I can use in my living life in the day I'm in, associating to people, to places, to things. When before I had to go there and just do whatever I thought was the best to do and accept that for what it was. It was just a bad day. It was bad circumstances. They acted bad and I had to act bad too and all that kind of crap. There's so much to talk about in the recovery program and steps that you can go endlessly in each step. In the steps, like I was telling you last night, there's like step one. There's only two pages, but you know we could talk all night long about an application of step one in a living life out there in reference to step one only. And this goes on and on and on, because it has to go on and on, because this is a program recovery and it's starting now just to get going, just to start living it, just to start in one day, and then going from one day into the next day into many years that follow with the same principles and the same set of steps, 12 steps, never been changed yet. Same words, same everything. And so in step four, the inventory, I'm pretty sure that the only hard part about an inventory is actually having help to see what a defect of character is, to identify it as a defect of character. And so I believe that sponsorship, like I had a sponsor that, man, he knew defects so well, you know. Man, I couldn't even call a guy an SB. He wouldn't let me get away with it. He wouldn't do it. He pinned me right down. Man, we had to talk about that because you said something you shouldn't talk about. See, but that was good for me. I had to have direction like that because, man, I'm looking for the easier, softer way all the time. I'm programmed in, man, just let that monkey around. Let's get going over here. It's more fun over here. You know, we'll do this later and stuff like that. See, and the disease of alcoholism, see, it, even when you're in the program of recovery, even after many years, it says the same thing. It does the same thing. It'll kill you worse today than it would yesterday even. Because it is exactly what we've been talking about. It's a power. It is a power. It's the power that brought me here even. The disease. Step five. You know, step five is another step I missed entirely. The reason I missed it entirely is because I said this before, and it's in five, where I admit to God, to myself, and to another human being the exact nature of my wrongs, is that I could always, at this time, I could admit to God. I could talk to God. I did pray to God. I had a God in my life, and it was a living God also. And to another, I've never had a problem admitting to other alkies anything and everything. There was only one thing I ever kept out of from saying to anybody at all, and then I finally had to do that. And that's explained in step five in your book, in your 12x12, that some of the, I have to admit all of these things or it's possible I'll get drunk again. And that was true with me. I didn't get drunk or anything, but I had to go through with it. But the important thing I think on five for me it was anyway is that I was always able to admit anything to anybody. Same thing again, is that I could admit something, but I didn't believe it. I still thought it was your fault. I still thought it was because of conditions. I thought it was that different reasons. See, and I just wouldn't accept. I wrote an inventory. And I wrote more than one of them, too. And I wrote it, but I never believed it, internally believed it. I never accepted that as a truth, as a real truth, an honest-to-God truth, that what I wrote about was me. That's me. I put down on paper the things that I put down there were me. Because I always kept looking for loopholes. I always kept looking for blame. I always kept thinking that the only reason I did these things is because I had to do them. I had to do them because you made me do them. And this year got real, real heavy on me, real serious. You know, I'll never forget. I talk about this too. You know, is that I had a motorhome, and I have a big boat. You know, the boat was 19 foot long, and it had a big cavitation. It was a great big boat. You know, so, and I was backing it up in my driveway. You know, and my wife was back there in the driveway, and she was supposed to spot me, see, you know. So I'm backing up and everything else. And so it went jackknife on me, see. And I can't see the boat or anything. And so anyway, I went a little too far and I punched a hole in the side of the motorhome, see, you know. Boy, you ought to heard me, you know. I really put the blame where the blame was on her, man, you know. She made me punch a hole in the side of that motorhome. Now look what you made me do, you know. And boy, it really hit the fan. And, you know, my whole life, you know, even up then, I was sober some years, you know. I've been sober a lot of years. And it was in the 60s. But everything was the same way, always the same way, see, is that I couldn't benefit and I couldn't use because the character that I was the same character that I've always been. And I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous at that time. I was probably in Alcoholics Anonymous at least 12 years anyway. And here I am, I'm up my old tricks again. I'm living with the disease of alcoholism. I'm rant and raving fool. and I'm blaming everybody and everything, and I already have went through steps. Man, I've been through steps in a long, long time. And I'm right back to where I was before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous in my brain. I'm the same character. And I'm really, really wrapped up with it, tighter than the devil. And I can't appreciate, or I can't look at, or I can't become aware of what's wrong with me because the alcoholism has got a hold of me, and I'm blind as a bat. And I'm still thinking it's, and I'm genuinely believing it's her fault, you know. Not wanting to change, not knowing anything about everything. I clean forgot about Alcoholics Anonymous, recovery program, and God, and everything else. And here I am, I'm wrapped up in the disease. And so this here means exactly, for me, it means exactly this. The day I'm in, the method of living, the power that's there, it's very obvious to me that there's no principles, there's nothing there but me and the disease of alcoholism. But it's something that I'm aware of, it's something that I went ahead and I started living with the disease, and I wanted to stay there, and I did stay there. It wasn't because of no certain day or certain accident or certain this or certain that. It's waking up in the morning and just going ahead and staying in the disease.